Time for us to visit with our friends from UR Medicine and Finger Lakes Health. Kim Alakwa is here. Morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good, good. I hope you're getting a little warmer.
I am. Yeah. I have had to pre-start my car this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like getting into a cold car.
So anything big happening, anything going on that we need to talk about before we introduce our guest?
Or I still want to just push flu vaccines. We're still seeing some flu, so we have those available at our three urgent care locations in Pendian, Geneva, and Seneca Falls. We also are offering walk-in screening mammograms on Tuesdays at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital from 7 to 11 and then from 1 to 4. So patients do have to have an order from their physician for the mammogram, but you do not need an appointment. So we just encourage everyone to come out on Tuesdays at Soldiers and Sailors for the walk-in screening mammograms.
Cool. All right. Let's get to our guest for today, shall we?
Yes. Today we have a first-time guest with us. We have Dr. Tom Asida, who is a fellowship-trained joint surgeon with Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery. He started with us in October, and we're so excited to have him here caring for our community.
Tom, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into your background and how you came to be here and what you do and so on and so forth, you're a native Buffalonian.
Correct.
You're a Buffalo Bills follower.
Yep.
So I have to ask you what your take is on Sean McDermott getting fired.
You know, if you're just looking at that last game, it doesn't seem like he's necessarily the one who could have shouldered the biggest responsibility.
Yeah.
I like him. It would have been nice to see him stay, but, you know, it's been a while, and I guess they got to change something. So
yeah, and a lot of the social media reaction I've seen is negative on McDermott getting fired and negative on Brandon Bean being promoted to president of football operations. But hey, you know what? Next year we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
And in the meantime, the search for a coach is off and running. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You're a fellowship trained orthopedic surgeon. What is fellowship training for people that may not be familiar with the term?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've had to explain to my parents quite a bit, so I think most people aren't very familiar with kind of our training path. So, you know, you know, the typical pathway, you know, you finish medical school and then you go into residency. So for orthopedic surgery, it's 5 years. And at that point, you know, you're board eligible. So you can either kind of just go right out in the community and start practicing. And, you know, I did my residency over at the University of Rochester. So they do a very good job of kind of comprehensive training. But, you know, nowadays most folks are going and doing a fellowship, which is just a year specialty training where, you know, you're really focusing on a very specific kind of subset of orthopedics. So for me, there's adult reconstruction, which is essentially just, you know, hip and knee replacements. And so you just focus on that for a year and kind of build your expertise.
Is that something that's changing in the medical field where it used to be you had general practitioners and now the focus seems to be on, you know, concentrating that time down and being a more specialized type of surgeon or care provider?
Yeah. You know, I can't speak so much for other fields in medicine, but certainly in orthopedics, the trend has kind of overwhelmingly veered away from being, you know, just a generalist, and, you know, for most people doing a fellowship to get that extra training and specialize in at least, you know, some specific part of orthopedics.
Adult reconstruction. Let's break down what that's all about.
Yeah. So essentially, it's mostly hip and knee replacements, both primary, you know, cases, which to us is just considered, you know, the first time when you have going from a native joint to a replaced joint, and then also revision procedures, which is when you have issues with a prior hip or knee replacement, which, you know, ideally that's something that we all want to avoid, but, you know, these things do happen. And so I think that's probably one of the focuses when you're doing a fellowship is you get to see a lot of something that's typically a little more rare.
I'm curious, which one is more difficult to deal with, the replacement of the native bone, shall we say, in that native reconstruction, or having to go in and clean up something that's already been done?
Yeah, so I think that in general, you know, the revisions tend to be a little bit more complicated, but, you know, there are certainly nuances to each. The biggest difference is that when you're going into something and revising it is that, you know, the native bone stock, there's only a limited supply. So you really are running out of options and typically using, we call them more constrained implants. So they're more yeah. stabilized by design, which unfortunately, you know, those implants can sometimes, even though they can provide higher functional improvements and are often needed, you know, they themselves do have some issues with loosening and other complications. So it's the revision cases are definitely harder, I would say, in general.
Now, you mentioned that you did your fellowship, your residency internship at U of R, and earned your medical degree at SUNY Buffalo. What brought you to this area starting back in October, I believe it was?
Yeah, so my wife is from Rochester, mm-hmm. and that's also where I did my residency. So, you know, early on, probably after college, where I went to down in Georgia, I was very enamored with the idea of seeing sun sometime between January and May. And, you know, when I met my wife, when we were in Buffalo, she was like, yeah, that's fine. And then as soon as we had our son, we just kind of became very apparent that we needed to be around family. So that brought us back this way.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back in town. I've been here since October. I'm sure you didn't miss the bitterly cold days like today so much.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah, but growing up in Buffalo, I mean, that was par for the course. So.
Yeah, and it seems like generally the winters seem more mild than I remember them in my childhood. So
yeah, that is true. That is true, even when we get cold stretches like this one. So what do you like to do outside of the office?
So a lot of our time has been focused, you know, we had our first son, so he's about 14 months old now. So just kind of spending time with him, and they do a great job of keeping things fresh, you know. Yeah. Which was always something that I enjoyed the thought of even before we actually had him. But you know, they just have a very unique perspective, and you get in your routine, especially after many years of training, and it's kind of nice to have some built-in variability in there.
Yeah, a newborn, especially your first one.
Yeah,
there's a lot of wow factor involved.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about the practice. You talked about doing hip and knee replacement. Are there any other things that you work on, specialize in as part of your practice?
Yeah. So I, you know, especially being out in the community, I think it's important to be able to, you know, provide a wide range of services from orthopedics, you know, that mm-hmm. we are trained in that pretty extensively. So there are some shoulder procedures for, you know, shoulder replacements. And then pretty much most general fractures, you know, we mm-hmm. can manage. Another advantage of being part of the university is every now and then, you know, you might come across something that is, you know, a little bit more complicated. And so, you know, my general view on it is, you know, if I wouldn't want me to manage it, then I would send it to someone. I like to send patients to the person that I would like to go to. But, you know, it's nice that we can initially manage it and then send them off to the right people. And
shoulder reconstruction, that's not something I've heard of. I get where that might be a necessity, but is that commonplace? Does that pop up here and there?
It definitely is not as common as hip and knee arthritis, but very common. And, you know, there's lots of non-operative treatments for it, but at some point, some patients, you know, they've tried all the conservative management and their symptoms continue to just, you know, interfere with their daily life, and they just, you know, their quality of life declines. And that's when you start talking about maybe replacing the shoulder, and it's a very effective surgery, just like the hip and knee replacements, can significantly improve quality of life.
I think one of people's biggest fears is they get older too, and you touched on it in your answer here just a moment ago, is that A word, arthritis. And sometimes the worst case scenario is you do need to have some sort of surgery if you've got an arthritic condition.
Yeah, so, you know, something you had said when you said need, that's kind of one of my favorite things, I think, about joint replacement is, you know, unlike a heart attack or something where you have to do it, you just, there's no other option. You know, technically these are elective procedures, which, you know, I think really takes it to, it's a much more comfortable discussion having with patients, because it's really about just explaining to them, you know, the spectrum of treatments, one of which obviously being operative. Mm-hmm. But you never have to do it. So you really get to coordinate your eventual game plan of care with the patient's goals and needs and thoughts and values. So, you know, for some patients, the joint replacement is not for them. So you get to really focus on, you know, how do we maximize function in that setting? I kind of view myself as, almost somewhat of a mechanic. And, you know, I just kind of tell them the options and I do the best that I can of kind of taking all the experience and learning and kind of distilling it down so they can get all the information so they can make the decision that's right for them. And so it's kind of cool to be the intermediary in that sense because, you know, it's hard to say, like, oh, do you need it? You know,
because right.
That's a common question that we get, you know, when do you pull the trigger and kind of go ahead?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from my perspective, it's one of the most fun conversations because you really get to understand people. You get to, you know, understand what they value and what their risk benefits are to make sure that you're doing the right thing for them.
Are you accepting new patients with the practice right
mm-hmm.
now?
Yep.
How do people get in touch with you?
People can schedule an appointment with Dr. Saida at Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery by calling 315-789-0993. And I also just want to mention that Dr. Saida does his procedures at Geneva General Hospital and at the Finger Lakes Surgery Center. So our patients that need joint replacements, we're very, very happy to have Dr. Saida here in our community caring for our patients and keeping care local.
Well, thanks for stopping in this morning, Dr. Saida. I appreciate you being here and best of luck and continued success with the practice, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.